Brian Foer joins us now from RBC Wealth Management for his Monday morning analysis of the business news. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Wayne. You got power there in the station?
At the station, yes, thanks to a generator. Not such good luck at home, however. Hope you survived relatively well.
We did. We got our power back late last night. Wayne, I was noting that markets broke their losing streak last week in strong fashion, up over 4% for the week. Mm-hmm. Though, I don't know about you, but it has been a long, wild August.
Usually August is thought of as a very quiet month with a lot of mm-hmm. people taking vacations and so mm-hmm. forth. But this has been a wild one.
I agree with you. It's been down. It's been up. It's been all around. The major market averages are still down about 8 or 9% for the month, and we still have 3 days left, so we shall see. This is likely to be a lower volume, lighter week, not only because Labor Day is next weekend, but because many traders in and around Wall Street and the suburbs may be delayed getting in today because of Hurricane Irene. Mm-hmm. Clearly, there's no rest for the weary this week, though, because we will receive several key reports on the health and direction of the economy. First, the jobs report. That comes on Friday. You know that's always a big one. That's expected to show unemployment remaining steady at just over 9%. However, new jobs may be low, maybe as low as 50,000, maybe somewhat lower, in part because of the strike that Verizon has been conducting, but also generally because of the craziness in August. We're also expecting the ISM report on manufacturing. A read below 50 would be a concern. We're going to receive factory orders. And we're also going to get the Case-Shiller home price update. So really, the last few days of this month, still chock full of good data.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the damage estimates on the Hurricane Irene are still coming in. But what might be the economic impact?
Well, I think it's a good question. And you're right that we know some of the initial economic impact of Hurricane Irene, though it is too early for the full results. Thankfully, what we know is that major metropolitan areas up and down the East Coast, like Philadelphia, Boston, and especially New York City, were spared significant damage. Even so, some analysts are estimating as of now, the economic impact could be $20 billion or more. And we know that our listening area, Wayne, of course, was hit hard. Maybe as hard or more as Isabel in 2003, with no doubt tens of thousands of homes in our listening area still out of power. One impact that is likely to happen because of Irene is that insurance prices for property and casualty policies are going up. This has already been a big year for the insurance industry, big meaning big in terms of losses. Remember that earlier in the year, the Australian floods, the New Zealand earthquake, and even the Japanese tsunami have all occurred in this 1 year. And thus, this big storm, Irene, will mean insurance companies will issue probably less coverage, and they're going to charge more for it. That's also known as a tight market, Wayne. Mm-hmm. One other footnote about Irene that's worth mentioning is that we are somewhat fortunate that the hurricane hit over the weekend, which limited the impact on work schedules and commuter travel.
Mm-hmm. So the hurricane was not quite as severe as had been feared or expected. Something else that wasn't as alarming,
yeah.
perhaps, as expected, was a talk that Ben Bernanke made yeah. in Wyoming.
Well, I think that's right. I called it another big tempest. Another big storm was brewing last week over the beautiful mountains of Jackson Hole, Wyoming. This was the much-anticipated speech by, as you say, Federal Reserve Chief Ben Bernanke, and whether the Fed would offer more monetary stimulus to pump up our economy. You may remember, Wayne, it was at this very meeting last year in Jackson Hole when Bernanke announced the beginning of what became known as QE2, which stands for Quantitative Easing Round 2. That program of buying government bonds in the open market, designed to keep interest rates low, ended this past June. But there's been serious debate as to whether the Fed would do QE3. The impact of last year's QE2 pumped up stock prices by nearly 25%, but its lasting impact is yet to be determined. For the record, this year Bernanke emphasized some positive aspects about the U.S. economy and said there is no plan to do more now, but he said he has more tools in his arsenal. That's his new catchphrase. Basically, Bernanke handed off the political football to the government and said, "Your turn."
Mm-hmm. We have just about 1 minute, and we certainly should take note of the fact that Steve Jobs
yeah.
stepped down last week as CEO of the company he founded, Apple,
yeah.
and for health reasons. And Of course, there's a lot of speculation about what his no longer being at the helm of that company may mean for the entire business world.
Yeah, this was big news. Some people say it was a sudden resignation of Apple CEO Steve Jobs, but you know, I say somewhat because Jobs' battles with liver cancer have been well documented, and at times over the past couple of years, he has looked noticeably weaker and thinner. Still, it will be hard to fill the shoes of the iconic visionary who brought Apple back from near bankruptcy and engineered the iPod, the iPad, iTunes, and continues to perfect the Mac operating system. In fact, Wayne, for a brief period this month, Apple became the most valuable company in the world, surpassing even ExxonMobil. But really, the bigger story is how will the company do without its founder? In past years, we've seen blue chips like Microsoft and GE struggle for identity in the wake of the departure of Bill Gates and Jack Welch. Clearly, it's not easy, but we hear that new Apple CEO Tim Cook is surrounded by a good, deep bench of talented engineers. Mm-hmm. Will they have his ingenuity of Jobs? Time will tell.
Okay. Thanks to Brian Ford for his Monday morning analysis of the business news. It's 8:40.